Now, on Tuesday afternoon, the offices of the Supreme Court and Justice Ministry of Venezuela was attacked by a helicopter that opened fire. And it is reported that by Venezuela analysis that they dropped at least four hand grenades, one of which did not explode. I mean, a lot of people could have been killed there. This following months of protesters opposed to the Bolivarian government established by the late Hugo Chavez and continued by Nicolas Maduro, the democratically elected president of Venezuela. The opposition claims they are protesting Maduro's call for a revamping of the Venezuelan constitution and to shortages in the Venezuelan economy. But frankly, that's just the excuse, because since the election of Hugo Chavez back in 1998, the opposition has continually attempted regime change. Chavez was using the oil wealth of Venezuela on programs to uplift the poor and to help a lot of countries in the Caribbean region. And even in the United States, they had an oil program on Native American reservations and also low-income communities. But this outraged the Venezuela elites, who were used to being in control of the wealth of Venezuela. With the backing of the U.S. government, they orchestrated a failed coup against President Hugo Chavez. Now, I'm going to play a clip now where you'll hear the response of the U.S. mainstream media and the Bush administration at the time of the coup. That was then, and it's very similar to what's going on now.
In Caracas, Venezuela today, violence as a means to an end. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez was forced from office after a controversial three-year term.
Following a military coup, Venezuela is apparently under the control of the army. The fate of Chavez himself remains unclear.
The Chavez reign was controversial from the start. He was critical of the U.S. and a close friend of Fidel Castro.
President Chavez has had a rule that has been controversial and has not met with widespread popular support within Venezuela or with among his neighbors, and certainly in the United States with President Bush.
Has already led to the end of an oil production strike, leaving the United States hopeful that a new government will help stabilize Venezuela's oil industry, the world's fourth largest exporter.
We have been concerned with some of the actions of Venezuelan President Chavez and his understanding of what a democratic system is all about.
For the United States, Venezuela had always been a reliable and affordable source of oil. Chavez, by deciding to exercise greater control over the state oil company and to push up oil prices, had set himself on a collision course with Washington.
President Chavez is consorting with narco-terrorists in Colombia.
A small minority of Venezuelans had benefited in the past from the country's vast oil wealth. In Venezuela, the oil belongs to the state, but for decades the state oil company had been run like a private corporation by the traditional ruling class. Chavez has promised to redistribute the oil revenue to the remaining 80% who lived in poverty, required breaking their control over the state oil company.
Porque el gobierno revolucionario lo que está es distribuyendo la riqueza entre todos para que todos vivamos mejor, porque la riqueza de Venezuela es de todos, no de una minoría.
In February 2002, Chavez announced his plan to shake up the state oil company and to put his own people on the management board. The war had begun. The privately owned media began calling on Venezuelans to demonstrate, suggesting that Chavez's attempts to control the oil industry were a direct attack on their prosperity.
He wants us to become a Cuba. He wants this to become a communist. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that clip was from The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, an Irish film crew that happened to be on the ground and caught the coup against Chavez. That coup was actually in 2002. So following the failed coup, the opposition They tried a lot of various things, an economic coup, a recall election against Chavez, all of which failed, referendums, etc. When Hugo Chavez died on March 5th, 2013, the opposition saw its chance, but their candidate lost the presidential election to Nicolas Maduro, whose roots, by the way, are in the labor movement. He was a bus driver, and they kind of put him down for being a bus driver, having been a bus driver. But losing the election did not stop the opposition. They have tried by any means necessary to undermine and topple the Maduro government, including creating tremendous economic pressure, shortages of goods, infiltrating the government, police forces, and armed forces. And the most recent attempt occurred on Tuesday with an armed attack by helicopter on government offices. Let's go now to a short piece from clip from Press TV.
And Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro says the helicopter attack on the country's Supreme Court was part of a larger plan to destabilize his government.
They shot from the helicopter against the offices of the Supreme Court, and then they flew over the building of the Interior Ministry. This is the kind of armed escalation that I've been denouncing. This is the kind of thing I've been denouncing. Earlier rather than later, we will capture the helicopter and those who did this armed terrorist attack against the institutions of the country. I condemn this terrorist attack, and I demand the Table of Democratic Unity condemn this violent act.
He said the chopper fired at offices of the court and launched a grenade that didn't explode before buzzing over the Interior Ministry. The attack happened when President Maduro was speaking live on state television to journalists who had gathered at the presidential palace. The opposition accuses Maduro of trying to spread fear to justify a crackdown against those who are against his efforts to rewrite the Constitution. Adding to the intrigue, a video has appeared on social media in which a pilot for the police squad calls for a rebellion against Maduro.
We demand you, President Nicolas Maduro Moros, your immediate resignation together with your ministerial group, or to immediately call for general elections. We have two choices: be judged tomorrow by our conscience and the people, or begin today to free our people from this corrupt government. We are warriors of God, and our mission is to live to serve our people.
Venezuela has been the scene of clashes between supporters and opponents of Maduro's government. For the past months, the president's opponents accuse him of chronic mismanagement. Maduro, however, says that the protesters are supporting a U.S.-backed coup attempt against his government.
Okay, so I would like to welcome two guests. First, I'd like to welcome Katrina Kozorak, who's a video journalist at Venezuela Analysis with a focus on grassroots issues. Katrina is on the ground in Caracas, Venezuela. Katrina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Margaret, on behalf of the Venezuela Analysis team for having us on your show.
Okay, and I'd like to welcome back to Sojourner Truth David Comision. He is with the Clement Paine Society based in Barbados, and he is the coordinator of the Caribbean chapter of the International Network in Defense of Humanity. And David has been helping to organize Caribbean-wide support for the Maduro government. David, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Margaret.
Okay, so Katrina, let's start with you. I imagine a lot of people are quite shaken by what happened in the clip. We heard the statement that was read by this guy who was formerly part of Venezuela intelligence, clearly now with the opposition, and a very dangerous move here. What is the reaction and feeling among the grassroots on the ground in Venezuela now?
There's obviously very high alert, a lot of concern about what had happened, but there's also a lot of conviction. I think people are more aware now than they were aware maybe a week ago about the definite intentions, direct intentions to create another scenario for a coup. It's something that has always been on the table since 2002. The opposition has continually tried to create different kinds of scenarios for coups, but now we see a definite escalation in the violence and strategy of the opposition in Venezuela to create a violent coup attempt.
For people, our audience here in the United States, I mean, all that's being reported is against the Maduro government, that the Maduro government repressing protesters, killing protesters. On CNN, a reporter was on talking about how torture by the Maduro government is just routine. And indeed, that particular reporter was asking someone on the ground in Venezuela, well, do you think these protests are going to topple the government, right? And now this particular attack, pretty bold. Maybe they thought that this helicopter attack would somehow lead to more uprising that would, in fact, topple the government. But I think it lays bare, as you say, Katrina, what their plans are all along, that it's not about the Constitution or about the rest of it, but it is about regime change. Katrina.
Well, I think there's also something that's very important to define the difference between protests and what are strategic, basic paramilitary strategies that have been going on in Venezuela. There have been peaceful protests. I can speak to the fact that very few of the peaceful protests, really peaceful protests, have been repressed. When there is police repression or repression from the National Guard, it's when, in the cases when there are violent barricades, where there are situations of looting, where there are situations of armed confrontation, basically against the National Guard. So there have been situations of violence from the National Guard, but mostly in situations where it's a question of protecting the rest of the public safety.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Katrina, because it seems to me all the people talking about the violence on the Maduro side, by the way, they make very little mention of grassroots people, Maduro supporters of the Bolivarian Revolution that have been attacked and killed, a number of whom have been those of African descent. But clearly, with this attack by helicopter, it, to me anyway, lays bare that there's infiltration on the part of the opposition in both the police forces and other parts, you know what I'm saying, of the government. So who knows who does something that they think will make the government look bad while seemingly on the part of the government. I want to bring David in here. So just a quick thought on that, Katrina.
Okay, there's definitely been, I wouldn't say large-scale infiltration within the police forces, but there have been infiltration within the police forces, and I think it's just an example. It's the CICPC, the investigative branch of the police forces on a national level. There have been a few killings that have been directly involved the CICPC, and the investigations of these killings have been very slow. There have been missing evidence, so there's a definite possibility that there is infiltration on that level. There seems to be very little infiltration still in terms of the national armed forces, in terms of the National Guard. They have declared many times to be against the coup attempts, against the violence.
Yeah.
I think there has been a very solid organization within those files, but within the police forces, yes, there has been some suspicious cases of infiltration within those ranks.
Well, I'm not surprised, because we know very well that that's part of the way U.S. intelligence operates. That's just what they do, right? But just quickly before I bring David in here, has the Bolivarian Revolution lost the support of the majority of grassroots people in Venezuela?
There's definitely not as much support as there have been in the last years, but there is still a large grassroots, very firm Chavista base within the popular communities, and I think that's one of the things that hasn't allowed for a more massive violence, for a more massive mobilization. And when we talk about peaceful protests at this point in time, we're talking about five or six people who go in with banners and maybe block off a street. The violent protests have been, there are also like 20, 30 people, most of them armed, most of them are paid with either large amounts of money. We're talking about 300 to 400 bolivares every day, or with drugs. It's something that has been proven time and time again by people who live in some of the buildings that have been constantly attacked.
Yeah.
And have been housing as well some of the violent protesters or the violent, I wouldn't even call them protesters at this point in time, who have instigated looting, who have killed and burned Chavistas simply for walking down the street or walking past one of their barricades.
Thank you for that. You know, David Comision, when I look at the photos of the protesters, and this was true too, and with the protests against the late President Hugo Chavez, they're largely white, very light-skinned people. I mean, there are some, you know, a few darker-skinned people in there, but I did spend some time living in Venezuela, in Caracas, and the racism was so thick, including against Hugo Chavez, who made it very clear that he had African blood, that he was part black, right? And standing with the Haitian people and much more. So we clearly see that dynamic again in this round of protests. But David, I want you to focus then on the what has been happening with the Organization of American States, because they had a meeting where they really tried, the United States was pushing a resolution against the Venezuelan government, and CNN reports that it was some Caribbean countries that managed to block that OAS move. David, what's going on with Caribbean region support?
Yeah, Margaret, I'll speak about that, but it would be remiss of me not to mention that one of the most horrific cases, modern-day cases, of the lynching of a black man took place in Venezuela on the 20th of May of this year, when 21-year-old Orlando Figueroa, a black Venezuelan, simply happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He happened to walk past one of these orchestrated violent actions on the part of these this white establishment, because you are right, there is a very serious racial divide in Venezuela. That establishment that has controlled Venezuela for so many decades is a white establishment. And Orlando Figueroa was lynched. He was beaten mercilessly. He was stabbed 6 times. He was doused with gasoline, and he was set on fire. Orlando Figueroa basically burnt to death. And even more disturbing is that this has recently been repeated about a day or two ago. There was another black victim by the name of Giovanni Gonzalez. He too was set on fire. I think he is still alive, but you know, this is a dimension of this assault on the socialist regime that needs to be highlighted and taken very, very seriously.
Yeah.
Now to get to the Caribbean and the Organization of American States, we in the Caribbean recognize that the most effective way in which we can assist the socialist government and people of Venezuela is through diplomacy in the Organization of American States.
Mm-hmm.
Because the United States is anxious to get some kind of international resolution that they could use as a fig leaf, just as they did with Libya, when they were able to get the Security Council of the UN to pass what seemed to be an innocuous resolution about defending, civilians under threat in Libya, and that was leveraged into a full-scale military assault on Libya, only to come out a few years later that there was actually no genocide in Libya, that the Pentagon was not in favor of any attack on Libya. So we understand that the United States will not be able to get that kind of resolution in the United Nations, because countries like Russia and China have understood the mistake that was made with Libya and are not going to permit it. However, the United States is accustomed to having its way at the Organization of American States, this, you know, the institution that they set up in the late 1940s and have dominated. However, the Caribbean country, the Caribbean community, CARICOM, we have 15 members of the OAS, 14 of whom are independent nations and therefore have the right to vote. So we are aware that if we maintain principled solidarity with Venezuela at the OAS, it will be virtually impossible for the United States to get a resolution passed, and certainly to get a resolution passed at the level of ministers of foreign affairs that requires a two-third majority vote. And so we have bestirred ourselves to give that principled solidarity to Venezuela. We don't want the OAS passing a resolution that sets up a basis for U.S. intervention in Venezuela. As Prime Minister Ralph Gonzalez has said, we will not be party to, you know, driving Trojan horses through the gates of Caracas. Mm-hmm. To set up a scenario of intervention. So this struggle has been going on at the OAS. There were two meetings that are very important. There was the recent meeting that was held 19th to 21st of June, but prior to that, there was a meeting in May, towards the end of May, at which the U.S. came with a resolution and an interventionist resolution, and the CARICOM states came with a resolution saying that we must respect the sovereignty of Venezuela and non-interference. And
you managed to block it, David. We just have like about 30 seconds or so.
We managed to block it once again at the meeting that was held between the 19th and 21st of June. But needless to say, the American government has been placing great pressure on individual Caribbean states to break the unity of CARICOM. They managed to do that, to break our unity, but not sufficient to get their resolution passed.
Right. Well, David, we're going to be continuing to watch this very important what's happening in Venezuela now. And David, I do want to have you back to talk about the anniversary of the Bussa Rebellion. I've been listening to the Bussa, I'm sorry, song of slave rebellion that happened in Barbados, but a lot more, this kind of growing progressive movement in the Caribbean region in solidarity with Venezuela and elsewhere. So I want to thank both of you for joining us. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you.
And David.
You,